Hey, well, thanks everybody for coming. Yeah, give yourselves a hand.
This is for you.
I'm going to sample that applause and put it in later in the show so it sounds like we had a really good show.
Echo it on top of itself a couple times.
Oh, wait. Here, let's do this. This is our theme music.
We're just setting the mood. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Amateur Tarot Pod.
The only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
And also spend an hour staring at a computer screen.
Also, it's for entertainment purposes only, just in case you were thinking that it wasn't. We have to say that legally, because we also have a money-back guarantee, and we don't want to give anybody any money. So that's where we're at right now. But we give pretty good readings. That's what I say anyway. I think that's our new catchphrase, is we get pretty good readings.
So by show of hands, who's I haven't done this in a minute.
Who's heard the podcast before?
Great.
Woo! Yeah.
And everybody else with your hands down, I'm so thankful to your friends who dragged you here.
Yeah. There's literally fours of you here, and at least a third of those people admit to have listened to the show. So that's great. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. So for those of you who have never done the show, Brian, you've got to put the outline back up.
Yeah, but I also have to check that we're still recording. Usually I have three screens.
What if you did have three screens?
That'd be fine with me.
They couldn't see us then. So this is what we do in Brian's attic.
Well, it's not my attic. It's my roommate's
attic.
It's
his roommate's attic. We sit.
But it's where I live.
We sit at his desk and look at three computer screens and talk into microphones. But all
it's
right.
As close as I could come to living underneath someone's stairs.
So this is a podcast, as Brian said, where we, two non-mystical hosts, use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions. And you might think tarot is very hard and very complicated, and you would be right.
It is. It's too hard for people like you to do, most of you. Some of you do it. But those of you who can't, don't even try.
It's too hard for us to do as well. It's too hard for us to do as well, and that's why we've made it very easy. Usually on this show, what we do is we just look at three cards that, in the order that we draw them, represent the recent past, the current action, and the...
It's not on that page.
It's not on that page. You have to go... There's a whole, it's a whole thing.
There's a whole lot going on. It's very difficult to make a podcast.
Yeah.
And so don't try that either. But when you combine the two, it's almost Herculean what we're doing up here, and you should really admire us.
The problem with this show is that we make a joke, but then we feel like we have to keep making that joke. It's only funny if we keep making it and then add to it. So like what I'm about to say is eight sentences long of things that I'm required to say.
Okay, so the blah, spread, blah, 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 spread we use.
In the order that we draw them are the recent past, the current action, and the future 100% money back, spiritual goal, guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
Can't wait.
Thank you. Maybe in the next show I'll have that memorized. So that's what we do, except for we're not exactly going to do that tonight.
No, tonight we're going to use a seven-card spread that indicates the recent past, the current actions, the future 100% money back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome.
Advice, obstacles, influences, other outcomes. There's a lot of things. We learned a lot for you guys tonight. So
we're also going to give you a card of the week. So if you listen to the show, that is going to be your card of the week, the one that was in the show. And then this is the new card of the week that like starts at the fiscal week, I guess. But then when you listen to this show again, like in a month when it comes out, you don't get a card of the week. You already had two this week. So
remember that.
Yeah. And this is about 200% of our listenership. So so you'll also just have to accept, like, we can only do so much. So
first, we do, we will have our seven cards.
Recording. We are.
We're still good?
Yeah.
That's good. Half the time when we're in Brian's attic, we're not recording. At which point, it's just two grown men sitting in somebody's attic talking.
Talking around each other. Because we can't look at each other either. Like, we have to look forward at the mics. So we're just talking near each other. Yeah. But I guess without any further ado, should we go ahead and answer a question?
Okay.
Should we go to Queerin's Corner?
Let's go to Queerin's Corner.
We didn't have a soundboard at our last show, so this is a big deal.
Wait, I don't listen to the podcast, so I have to ask this question. Isn't there like a music that we go to Queerin's Corner? I said it before, so. All right, well, here we are in Queerin's Corner. And we're going to get down to what we do, which is give advice. Today's question comes to us. There'll be an opportunity for audience questions later, by the way, if you do have a burning question that we may or may not answer. Today's question comes from Pete, and it's a great question. How can I make myself more attractive, inside and out?
That's a good question. It's good to want to better yourself, and that sounds like a good attitude to approach things with. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pull out the... I don't know why people are laughing.
There is like a constant low-level laughter, which I guess is good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I just don't know what it is, and I'm worried that like I'm too sweaty and you guys can really see it or something like that.
Do you think people would enjoy the regular podcast more if we just put a low-level laugh track underneath the whole show?
Well, I can try it because we'll have that on a separate track this time.
Great.
So I'll just do that from now on. So what deck are we using this week, Ben?
What deck are we using?
We're using that deck right
now.
No, there.
We can't. You told me to bring that, but I was hoping that's not why we were...
That is exactly why.
Can we use a different one?
As much as I appreciate you hating the gift that I give you, no, that's the deck we're using.
All right. Well, the deck that we're using today was a Christmas present to me from my dear friend Brian. It now, I'm going to say it, and you're going to think that is a great gift, and it was a great gift. It is the Harry Potter tarot deck.
Which, yeah, you can woo for that.
You can woo.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely deck. It's black and white drawings.
You guys can all see that, right? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, wait, I can't talk when I'm not up against the microphone. I don't know. There's two cards.
Hope you all got a good look.
Yeah.
It's a visual medium, folks. That's why we podcast it.
Yeah, look at it after the show. So what's great about the Harry Potter deck is that it's Harry Potter, and my dear friend Brian got it for me. What's hard about the Harry Potter deck is that a lot of the images don't match up to the normal images on tarot, and then all of the 2 through 9 or the 2 through 10 cards have their own names, which is quite confusing. So we'll muddle through this as we help Pete become more attractive both inside and out.
It's going to be a lot easier than Ben is making it sound because it is a really good deck. Oh, speaking of it being a really good deck, how many stars would you give this deck that I gifted you for Christmas and thought really hard on getting?
4.
That's not bad. 4 out of 5. That's more than he gives a lot of
them. I give most decks a 7.
Ben hates tarot decks.
All right, so we are shuffled up and we're ready to go.
All right, so to remind you of the question, Pete asks, how can I make myself more attractive, inside and out?
And so as we alluded to in the intro, our first 3 cards are actually still going to be the recent past, current action, and whatever future outcome. So our first card, our recent past card is...
Temperance. So what we have here is the older Weasley brothers, the twins.
Which is an odd picture for Temperance.
Yeah, I would think, I guess just because they're twins, like, it's like the two glasses of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I get that.
Tarot's very mystical. There's a lot going on.
So, the Temperance card, this is one of those cards that you don't need to know a lot about Tarot to figure out because it pretty much means exactly what it sounds like.
Temperance.
Figure
it out.
Moderation.
Balance.
Great.
All right, I guess we're done.
So
sometimes we go back and forth for hours. Buckle up.
All right, so this is our recent past card is Temperance. So I would have to assume that in terms of Pete and his inner and outer attraction, he's been taking a moderate approach.
Yeah, I think that probably he's been trying to balance different aspects of his life and in an attempt to increase overall happiness, which would increase overall attractiveness. How are we doing so far, Pete? Excellent. Reading for a person, a real...
Here?
Yeah.
Pete's here.
Holy
I'm going to have to beep that.
It's a family show.
But that's great. Now it's like Pete's a celebrity. You're already more attractive. We're doing it for you.
It is great reading for another person until you start describing it, and then they're like, no, that doesn't sound like
Yeah, when you get like a dead stare from someone, and you're just like, whatever, just go away. But if you don't get a dead stare, when someone's like, oh my gosh, you totally just described my life, then I'm like, sorry. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't have a punchline there, so we're just going to keep going.
All right. So that's the past. The next card is the present. And that card is the King of Swords.
You can describe it while I'm showing it off.
Okay, this has Sirius Black sitting on a throne with Dobby at his feet.
Which is weird.
Well, he used to be...
He used to.
Okay. Before he was
free. I haven't read the books in a while.
Ben hates Harry Potter.
That's false. I just don't like the deck.
So what does the King of Swords mean, Ben?
Well, the King of Swords... he is obviously, let's do a little education.
Okay.
So, in the tarot, there are four suits, swords, cups, wands, and coins, and, all suits go from 1 to 10, and then they have four court cards, the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. Sorry, I didn't forget, I was just distracted by Brian checking audio levels again. And the king is the top of the suit, this king in particular is the top of the sword suit, and so the king of swords, well, the sword suit, is all about intellect and logic. And the King of Swords is the master of intellect and logic. That's what he means.
Yeah, and Dobby's on there too. I don't think he's the master of intellect or logic. But he is on the card, and he looks very cranky.
So. The present. So the king, the swords are all about the mind, and the king is sort of the master of his own mind. He's very forward-thinking. You know, he likes to plan. He likes to strategize. But in terms of this question, I'm thinking perhaps then logic or is going to be the solution to Pete's problems.
Or is it just where he is right now? He's at the logicking part of it. Mm. He's at the intellectualizing these issues part of it.
That's better.
Yeah, that's better. On this show, for those of you who aren't aware, whoever talks last talked rightest. So I just talked rightest on that card.
So at the moment, Pete is really trying to think his way on how to become more attractive. Is that the right solution? I don't know. Let's find out.
Let's find out what the future holds.
I did see Pete nod, so.
Excellent.
Good job.
Great.
Don't look so depressed.
Well, I mean, it's the Ace of Swords. I understand that. I just don't know who is on this card or are there eagles in Harry Potter? Is this a Lord of the Rings card?
I don't know, is it an owl or an eagle?
That's an eagle.
Okay.
I mean, or a falcon or something.
It's a woman with an eagle, I don't know.
Who? Wait, somebody shouted something.
Ravenclaw. Rowena Ravenclaw.
Perfect. It's Rowena Ravenclaw.
Oh, that's so good.
She is the Ace of Swords, which is the House of Slytherin.
What?
Swords are Slytherin.
Oh, in our...
Because they're cunning, yeah.
Okay. We have our own, we have our own Harry Potter tarot deck that we never made.
Yeah, there's so many different areas of life where we just make it up. The tarot, podcasting, Harry Potter lore, we're all over the place, but we will make up the answers that are most right for you. And so what does the Ace of Swords mean in this future position?
Okay, well, in general, the Ace of Swords is the other side of the King of Swords. So the Ace of Swords is still about logic and intellect, but it's an ace. So aces are about new beginnings, starting something over. And so here, this is the start of a new intellectual journey.
Yeah, and that's interesting coming from the King of Swords right before it, showing that you're really focusing on the intellectual pursuit right now. But then we go into the ace, which is like the beginning of that journey. So it also indicates that there's going to be like some sort of breakthrough, like a lightning bolt or a light bulb moment.
Yeah, you know how you learn things? It's like you're leveling up and then you plateau and then you're leveling up.
Yeah.
Right now you're at a plateau, but you're about to start leveling up again.
So let's see. Our fourth card is the advice card. And so we're going to see what the advice is for Pete.
The Queen of Cups.
The Queen of Cups.
who looks like maybe Malfoy's mom?
I don't think Malfoy's mom is that regal, but it's some regal Slytherin. I guess cups are Slytherin, because you know how Slytherin are all about hugs.
So, cups are, as Brian is alluding to, cups are about heart and about emotion and about feelings. And I should mention at this point that court cards could be you or somebody else in your life. So, work with that.
I think it's you. I think in this position, in the advice position, it has to be about you.
Okay.
And so, as the Queen of Cups, you're someone that is in control of your emotions, or
the advice
would be to be in control of your emotions and be able to figure out when you need to kind of spread out the love and when you need to kind of reel it in. You're in the most control of that, and you need to be aware of that control. So now, the next card that Ben is going to flip over, I don't know why I touched the deck.
It's mine. It was a gift, and don't you dare touch it. The next card is some sort of hidden influence that's going to be acting on you.
Yeah, it's something that is maybe a facet of your personality, something that you hold close to who you are.
And that card, another queen.
Dang.
You're all court cards, Pete. This is the Queen of Discs. It's the Herbology woman.
Trelawney.
Yes.
No.
That's
not
the divination woman.
Sprout.
So creative.
Yeah, so she's the Queen of Discs, or the Queen of Coins, or the Queen of Pentacles. It's all the same thing. It's about money. Pete, are you all about money?
No.
No.
It's not always about money, Brian. The Queen of Coins is also like a provider.
Pete, are you all about providing?
I am so poor.
You're what?
Very poor.
Very poor. Pete's poor. But maybe it's somebody else in his life, Brian. Can I push that narrative on you?
You can try.
Okay. Pete, are you close to your mom? Or is there a woman in your life that you're close to?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good guess, Ben.
Right? Right?
Is there a woman in your life that you're close to in any way? That was good. I like it.
Thank you. Do you mind sharing who?
Without naming names, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So is it like a friend or like a relative or...
A friend.
Okay. So what I'm going to go with here is that person is somebody that you want to lean on in this time and maybe seek some advice from them. Or since this is sort of the influence card, it's somebody who's going to be acting on you, somebody who's going to be someone to look to while you're on this journey of becoming more attractive inside and out.
Yeah.
Cool.
You talk last.
Yeah. So the next card is an obstacle, something that's going to be standing in your way. And don't worry, we're going to put all this together at some point.
Yeah, we'll wrap it all back up in a story.
Oh, God, I cannot. We should have taken the court cards out of this deck. I can't do it. This is the princess, or the page of wands.
Okay, so what do we have on this card?
I don't know, a girl who plays Quidditch. Maybe it's Ginny?
That is Ginny.
All right. I have to imagine my wife is loving this, who's never read Harry Potter.
I have to imagine that everyone that bought tickets for this is totally loving it, because I think we're really killing it.
I know we are. I'm just hoping that maybe this will inspire my wife to finally read Harry Potter.
I think so, with the passion of which we've spoken about these characters. Like,
I give the deck 4 stars.
Like, I don't know, Trelawney? I don't know. Is that Malfoy's mom?
Could be.
When you speak with passion, people listen.
Yeah. All right, so the Page of Wands, this is an obstacle.
Yeah, and I think, Pete, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you have a lot of creative endeavors that you go after, and they take up a lot of your time. Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's like you know him so well.
Yeah, but that's what the Princess of Wands, or the Page of Wands, is pointing to, is having all these things that you're excited about doing, having all this stuff that you like to do, but it's kind of got a lack of focus because you're so happy to learn about everything and so happy to try everything that there's not a lot of room left over for other stuff. You're always going.
Okay, I like that.
Nice.
So our final card is the last thing. I don't know. Sometimes it's like it's the outcome, but then people are like, so what does that mean?
Yeah, it's the outcome if you're able to follow the advice and avoid the obstacle.
But then people are always like, how's that different from the future card?
The future card is just a card.
Okay.
That is like this is what the future looks like. And then there's advice on how to get that future. And then there's an outcome if you're able to get that future.
Okay. And that
so
card is...
If I went to the pool, I'm at the pool in the future. If I'm going to go to the pool, then I'm at the pool in the future. But the outcome is probably I'm going to go swimming,
sunburn.
Ben. Or sunburn, yeah. that could be an obstacle to me having fun.
Okay. So the final card, the outcome, the sunburn card, and if it's a court card, I'm going to leave.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not. And it's... Let's...
What?
Put that under the table. We'll draw a new one.
All right. No, I didn't see what it was.
No, we should go with it.
Failure. All right.
The
perfect.
Card is literally called Failure.
What card is that even?
It's the Seven of Coins.
Oh, it's the Seven of Coins. Got it.
Which is not it's not Failure.
Seven of Coins isn't about failure.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Brian, ad lib.
All right. Ben is going into his favorite deck, the Golden Universal Tarot, so he can find a Seven of Coins so that we can read the story of the Seven of... This is what Ben was afraid of, using this deck.
Because the Seven of Coins is not about failure. So, I'll show the failure card, and then I'll show the real Seven of Coins.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You could show them the same card twice. They're way far out there. So, I guess the Seven of Coins could speak to failure, but what the Seven
really?
Of Coins... Yeah, it could, because he's really disappointed, but... the deal with the Seven of Coins is that somebody's put in a lot of hard work and it just hasn't paid off
yet.
Yeah. There's a big yet in that card. And, that's why I think that failure doesn't really fit.
So the Seven of Coins, there's this guy, he's waiting for his money bush to ripen so that he can pluck the fruits from his money bush and go spend them.
Oh, but you know what? It could be failure because that money bush ripens.
Shut up.
And then in the Nine of Coins, that woman gets it all.
So some rich woman steals his money?
Yeah, so that's why he's disappointed right there. Because he's like,
nah. He sees the future?
Yeah. So
let's
put this
all together.
Put this all back together.
Okay.
We start off with temperance, and you're trying to balance the different ways you're approaching your life. You're trying to make your life more healthy and more happy so that you will be generally more attractive in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us to the present, the King of Swords. You're taking an intellectual approach to this.
And you're killing it.
Yeah, you're killing it. You've broken it down in different steps. You've broken it down into different areas of your life, different aspects, and you know the things that you want to be doing.
But a breakthrough's coming, and that's the Ace of Swords, Rowena Ravenclaw, which was a great idea Brian and I had.
Yeah. We really appreciate when those ideas just come to us out of the blue. Kind of like a real Ace of Swords moment for us when we were like, oh my gosh, it's Rowena Ravenclaw.
So some sort of breakthrough's coming, and it's going to be intellectual. As you keep thinking about this, you're going to unlock something in yourself. And that's going to help you figure out and think through what you need to do next to continue to make yourself more attractive both inside and out, although I would say you're starting at a very high baseline.
Nice. Yeah. Can we just give Ben a hand for coddling the audience?
All right, so that moves us into our advice card. Maybe Malfoy's mom, the Queen of Cups.
And
No, it was your idea.
No, you got it.
No, you, please.
Okay, so the Queen of Cups is about being able to take care of the other people in your life, the relationships in your life, and the things that you love, the things that you feel strongly about.
And that's where that breakthrough is going to come from?
Is taking the time to take care of those people and using the power you have, using the emotional capacity that you have to take care of more people.
Okay. So that leads us to our influence, which is the Queen of Discs. And somehow I just happen to know that there was a woman in your life, a strong female who you lean on in times of need, and she's going to come through here. And that leads us to our obstacle, which is the Princess of Wands. And that is representative of?
Of chasing too many creative endeavors, chasing too many ideas at one time, not being able to settle yourself down and really focus on one thing. So,
like that single sword, like the Ace of Swords?
Kind of, yeah. You have a lot of good ideas all the time, but you're going to need to find the one, the Ace of Swords idea, so that you can move forward in that arena.
Ultimately, it's a process. So once you have that breakthrough, it's not going to solve everything. You're still going to feel like you're waiting in some ways, and that's okay because this is a process and it doesn't all happen overnight. So just know that good things are happening. Sometimes it just doesn't all happen at once and we have to be patient.
But it's going to happen. So did we answer how can I make myself more attractive inside and out?
More or less. Pete, I feel good about
it. Pete, do you feel like we answered that question? Excellent.
Pete feels good.
Give us a hand, everyone.
All right.
So that's a show. Thanks.
No, it's not. Well, now we have to leave Queerance Corner. Well, thank you all for making that journey with us.
Yeah, we're back. We're back to just the normal part of the show, where we can talk about stuff and make fun of different ways that people are doing things. What do we do in this part of the show normally?
Normally, we just go right into the card of the week, I think.
Yeah, and that's what it says to do on this also.
At what point do I do the other stuff?
I think in between 3 and 4. And if you want, I can change the outline right now, but I know you get upset when I do that while we're live.
No. We'll go into the card of the week.
Okay. So let's go ahead and go into the card of the week. And this week, we're using my favorite deck right now, the Numinous Tarot.
Do you see how Brian sets me up to force me to give good ratings to these decks?
You never give good ratings to decks that I like.
I feel obligated because there's people watching, well, and your feelings are on the line.
My feelings don't matter, Ben. If they mattered, we would have stopped this podcast a long time ago.
Well, Brian, talk about this deck.
You talk about this deck.
Well, you love this deck, so I wanted you to set it up.
Well, I want you to talk about it. The Numinous Tarot. No, I'm just going to let you talk about it.
All right. Well, here's the Numinous Tarot.
That's a Kanye card.
This one?
Yeah. Because it has a picture of Kanye on it.
Is it really Kanye?
No.
Okay. Here it is. So what I know Brian likes a lot about this deck is that it's very much not gendered, which the regular tarot is very gendered. What I don't like about this deck is that all of the suits are switched. So there's bells and vials and tomes and
candles,
which is confusing. But the art is cute.
That's dismissive.
No, I didn't mean to dismiss it. I like that the art is cute. The Fool was fun. It was a woman diving off of a cliff to do some skinny dipping in a rainbow there.
I know that you people can't see these cards.
I appreciate the oohs and ahs. Let's do another 4 stars.
All right, 4 stars for both of them. It's a good day. You pick some good decks for that. Yeah. I brought some extra decks if you just wanted to rate some decks.
I mean, we can.
No, I was hoping to bring a deck that you really disliked, but I knew you wouldn't really dislike this one.
No, I don't really dislike either of these decks. You gave away that one that I do really dislike.
Yes. I gave away a lot of my tarot decks. I used to think of them as my children.
So now he only has 100.
Yeah, that's true. I think of them as my children, but then someone that's in the audience today, Amanda, convinced me that you can just give children away. And so that's what I decided to do. I culled some of my decks and made room for new ones, and then I got new ones. So that was pretty nice.
So the card of the week is a piece of advice for anybody, for Pete, but also for everybody else assembled here tonight who didn't have a specific question. This is just something to keep with you as we go through the rest of the week. If you're encountering any struggles, think of this card, which is... Flip.
The Tower.
The Tower. I will now show it in full HD.
Pass that around. It's for everybody.
Okay.
And so for the card of the week, we read directly out of the book, and this has a pretty sizable book. So I'll go ahead and get started while that's getting passed around. I'm not going to read all 2 or 3 pages. But the description is, a geometric tower rises over a dark, stormy sea. The clouds behind it are even darker and have produced 2 enormous lightning bolts. One of them is striking the tower, while the other illuminates a small figure that has fallen from the upper window towards the
sea. So you know it's going to be good.
So yeah, this is an overwhelmingly positive card. Anybody that reads tarot will tell you. And what it means, the keywords, haha, are disaster, upheaval, unexpected, and altered course. Where there is shadow within us, there's also shadow without. Once again, we find ourselves caught up in it does look like the Eye of Sauron. Once we find ourselves caught up in forces we cannot control or even predict. The lightning strikes down in an instant, throwing us from where we stood and turning our entire world upside down. The Tower card appears when something unexpected and shocking has occurred, something that will drastically change the path we set out upon. Blah, blah, blah. Technically, the Tower does not always herald terrible events, and on occasion can indicate shockingly good news, such as winning the lottery. Is Mimi here? No, she was asking a lot about winning the lottery. So this may mean that Mimi's going to win the lottery, or someone in this room is. A prestigious award or an experience that significantly alters your view of the world. But even in those cases, they are instances strong enough to make us lose our footing and go tumbling down from the top of the tower we've been building since the start of our journey. Whatever happens, don't blame yourself. You're all free from blame, everyone. This is like a weird church thing. You have no more guilt. Structures we've spent so much time building are torn down, blah, blah, blah. The events of the tower once again opens us up to spiritual questioning. Our place in the world has been radically changed, which may mean our answers to big questions have changed as well. What may have been theory and speculation as the hermit is now lived experience. How is it different from what you expected? What are your answers now that your perspective of the world comes from the bottom of the tower rather than the top?
So we'll give you time to answer.
That's really fun. That's a fun, lighthearted card, everyone. You're welcome.
Comedy! So, shit might go down this week. Oh, you've got to beat me.
Yeah, I'm going to
have to
beat you.
You don't have the beep sound.
No, because I don't know when you're just going to start cursing.
Bad stuff might happen this week, but in the tarot, all bad stuff leads to maybe good stuff.
Yeah, everything's cyclical. So, if you're in Wheel of Fortune terms, like not the show The Wheel of Fortune, but The Wheel of Fortune, the tarot card, if you're on the bottom now, you'll be on the top again soon enough.
So, there's really nothing you can do if something bad's going to happen this week. It's just going to happen to you. And just hold, you know.
But use your pre-knowledge of that to go ahead and set it up as a perspective maker as opposed to some traumatic thing.
Yeah. Just take it. Take a deep breath. Know that it's going to pass and that good things will happen afterwards.
I mean, it may be a long time afterwards, but will eventually start happening.
There'll be another podcast on Sunday and you'll get a new card. So by then, I'm sure it will have cleared up.
Yeah. That's a good way to get them to listen to the next podcast.
You want good advice? Tune in next time.
So that was the card of the week. And now we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah,
well, it's been charted one time, but it's not charted on our outline.
Yeah, normally this is the part of the podcast when we're in Brian's attic where we do an outro, an ever-expanding outro, sort of like an Ouroboros or some other very long thing. A scarf coming out of a magician's mouth that never seems to end. That's the outro, which we'll get to later. Now, a reading?
These are the surprises that we brought for each other. Ben, what surprise did you bring for me?
That's not a surprise anymore. All right, well, we're on a very vast project here. As you guys may have surmised, we're Harry Potter fans.
Was anyone at our last live show?
Yeah. Ooh, a couple people.
Yeah,
nice.
Love it. That's more people than listen to our show. Like, we asked earlier if people listen to the show, and some people raised their hands. I feel like it's more people now. But that's fine. That's fine.
All right.
Keep listening.
We're on a journey, and I'm glad that the people who are here for our first live show can be on the next step of our journey with us. The rest of you are joining midstream, but...
So this may not make a lot of sense, but just bear with us.
Now, we're... As you could tell from my great knowledge of the Harry Potter tarot deck, I'm very caught up with the books. That's because I've been reading them again at every live show. At the first live show, I read chapter 1, page 1. Today we'll continue with chapter 1, page 2. We're very fortunate in that page 1 ended with a period, so we'll be starting today with a complete sentence. Here we go. They didn't think they could bear it if anyone found out about the Potters. It was on the corner of the street that he noticed the first sign of something peculiar, a cat reading a map. I don't remember that.
That is peculiar.
For a second, Mr. Dursley didn't realize what he had seen. Then he jerked his head around to look again. There was a tabby cat standing on the corner. That's it.
Here ends the reading.
We'll finish that sentence next time.
Our last live show was in November, so I don't know. Yeah, however many months that is in between November and now.
So maybe we'll see you in a bit over half a year for page 3.
We can find out what that cat was doing.
Hopefully you'll be able to join us for the next 3,000 live shows to figure out how the series ends.
So that was a surprise that Ben planned for me at our last live show. Without consulting him, I had also planned a surprise at our last live show. And so I'm going to continue my reading of Harry Potter and the Leopard Walk Up to Dragon. This is a semi-famous fan fiction that is semi-famous for being very, very bad.
I couldn't tell by the title.
Harry Potter and the Leopard Walk Up to Dragon. I don't remember where I stopped last time, so I'm just going to go to a place where in bold it says, this part needs work. He thought back to that Thursday, the most important day in Harry's life, the most unforgettable day in Harry's life. In the middle of the night, Harry secretly got out of bed, donned his invisibility cloak, and like a puff of steam, tiptoed down the stairs, and then went to the school hunting grounds, like the night when the keykeeper Hagrid secretly took him to see the fire-breathing dragon, waiting to 6 question marks in a row. Hey, Wormtail, how you doing? Harry first called to the guy opposite. Peter was his parents' classmate at Hogwarts, with a Z, School of Magic, and afterwards became Voldemort's henchman. His good sense at the critical moment helped him pull life out of death, so now the aged Peter had become Harry's devoted follower. Peter smiled and bowed towards his idol Harry. In the muggle world, Harry still was only a normal young man, but in magic circles, he was a spectacular person. Because of his fame, there were bad or jealous magicians and beasts who wanted to smash Harry. Ron faced the portrait of Da Vinci's old man and said the spell, fried banana pudding. The door creaked open, showing a long crack where the moonlight shone through the darkness. Harry hurried in, then turned and closed the door, took off his invisibility cloak, and looked around.
What happened to Peter?
What happened to Harry? Oh, Harry's right there. But where did Ron come from?
I don't know.
Tonight, Harry was a little uneasy wearing the invisibility cloak because it seemed like overkill for a minor problem. But he couldn't really blame himself, since kind-hearted Harry had gone through many, many terrors at 4 Privet Drive. So far, so good. The moonlight-drenched passage was empty, completely still. At several key times, parentheses, like when Dudley suddenly attacked him, in parentheses, he pulled out the Marauder's map, ellipses. Then it says skip to end of chapter. I think we're just going to close it there. That was today's reading of Harry Potter and the Leopard Walk Up to Dragon.
When does the leopard come?
I don't know. When does the dragon come?
I don't know.
At the last reading, Harry was in a bath, I'm pretty sure. So a lot happened.
It was weirdly erotic.
Yeah, it sounds like it was going to be erotic, but it is not erotic fan fiction. It's just fabulous.
Audience questions.
Oh, audience questions. That's what that means, huh?
Yeah.
Where it says audience readings, 3-card spread. So before
question mark.
Yes. Before the show, we got to some people and we got some questions written down on paper. And so we are going to now answer those questions using the cards.
Some of them.
What deck should we use? You want to use the Golden Universal? That'll make you feel best?
That'll make me feel very comfortable.
All right. Well, I'm all about making Ben feel comfortable at these shows, so let's do what Ben wants to do.
I quite like this question, which comes from Jamie. How is my should-do list getting in the way of my happiness?
How is my should-do list getting in the way of my happiness? All right. Can I shuffle your cards?
You may. Also, does anybody else out there have a question they're dying to ask? Because I can get you some paper.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, there's people who need paper.
This, again, is way better than our last live show when no one wanted to participate. And if you make it a yes or no question, then we'll just ask it in a different way and maybe not answer your question at all. All right. So, Jamie, how is my should-do list getting in the way of my happiness?
I like should-do lists. I've not heard that before.
You ready?
Yes. You're
gonna
flip.
What you don't know is that Ben does Foley work. If you don't listen to the show often, then you aren't aware that Ben does Foley work. So let's do that again,
okay.
Just in case they thought it was a real card flipping over.
Flip.
Perfect. Seamless.
Nailed it. So our card, our past card, is the Hanged Man.
And the Hanged Man shows a gentleman hanging from his foot at the top of a post, and he's looking all beatific, just hanging there.
Yeah, let's note that the hangman is not as bad as it sounds.
No, he seems happy to be in his predicament.
The tower sounds like it could be okay. Very bad. The hangman sounds like it could be very bad.
It's okay.
It's fine.
And so what this is saying is that in the recent past, you have had a change of perspective. Maybe the way that you've been approaching things, you've decided you're going to approach them differently now because of new information or just because of a reprocessing of old information.
Yeah. Maybe like even recognizing that her should-do list is getting in the way of her happiness.
Ready for the next card?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I'm asking, are we ready for the
next
card?
I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready. Flip.
Oh, good.
No, you said that bad.
Well, it's just another court card.
Oh, yeah, but I like this one.
Oh, okay. It's the Knight of Coins.
It's the Knight of Coins.
So the Knight of Coins, Ben.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the Knight of Coins, coins.
I let Ben do all of the court cards. That's why. Yeah. That's why he gets to talk so much, because we seem to only flip over court cards a lot of times.
Yeah, you take all the good, easy, fun ones. You're like, I'll do Temperance, and then I have to do the Knight of Coins.
Well, I have to set up all the tech. So
that's true. So the Knight of Coins, again, we're in coins, which is about money or material well-being. And the Knight of Coins, he's on this big plow horse because the Knight of Coins is ready to do some work. The Knight of Coins is all about really digging in and making it happen. How does that have to do with Jamie's should-do list, Brian?
Well, it's in the present. And so I think it's saying that right now is the time to dig into that should-do list.
Like maybe getting rid of the should-do list is going to make her... It's getting in the way of her happiness by existing?
Are you talking about... You've just confused me because it feels like you said the opposite of what I said. So I'm saying that tackling the should-do list as like items on a list of things to do is what this is recommending.
Yeah, and that's going to make her happy because once her should-do list is gone, it's not going to be standing in the way of her happiness.
Once all the items on the list have been eliminated.
Right.
Got it.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because we often don't.
If I bully you enough, then we're saying the same thing.
That's true. And if you talk last, you talk rightest.
Yes. So now the future card.
The future card. And so to be clear, what we're saying right now is that your should-do list is getting in the way of your... How is your should-do list getting in the way of your happiness? Because you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
That's what we're telling someone I know to be a working mother. You are not doing enough. Next card, future.
Smile more. Oh. I'm just joking. Oh, sorry, I've got to flip. You're looking at me. I thought it was about my sexist joke.
No, I'm fine with with you saying horrible things.
Flip.
Oh, the Ace of Wands.
Yes. Here's the Ace of Wands. It looks phallic.
It is the hand of God extending a wand out into the world.
And onto the floor. So the Ace of Wands, this is another card about new beginnings, and wands are all about passion and inner desire. So I think this makes a lot of sense, because once you get that should-do list taken care of, you're going to feel really inspired and really happy.
Yeah,
really fired up.
You know what you need to do is cap that should-do list at where it's at now and do those things, and then no more should do's. Stop having a should do list. You're not going to be able to forget about, that's what it's saying, is you're not going to be able to forget about the things that are on the list currently, but you can control adding more things to the list. So don't add anything else to the list so that you can have a new list of wanna do.
Yeah.
And then you can do
that'll be
those
a list
things.
That you'll want to tackle.
Yeah. And then maybe you'll want to smile more. That was Ben's horrible sexist joke.
You called it back. All right, let's go down for Jamie. Should we do a new deck?
We can. What deck would you like to use? We have the Darkness of Light, the Tinker's Dam, the Marigold, or the Carnival at the End of the World. And you are not going to want to use the Carnival at the End of the World.
So then let's do that.
Okay.
Should I give it a rating or should we save it for another day?
Go ahead and rate it because you won't want to use it again, but I will.
Let me get the audience. A lot of good ones, guys. It's well written. This is a great question. All good questions, and there's still good ones in the pile.
Are those strangers over there? Do you know us at all?
No.
Awesome. Welcome.
Give it up for strangers. Welcome.
So I'm going to shuffle the deck while Ben vamps.
What? Wait, why are you shuffling the deck if I have to look through it and rate it?
Oh, good one.
All right, so this is the Carnival at the End of the World deck.
Yes, it is.
Which just shows many things. Here is a man who is... It looks like he's dug his pruning shears into the ground, and a lemur is riding on his back. That is the Five of Coins?
Well, he also has, like, a bison fur on.
So that's a man. The Queen of Wands looks very scary.
Ooh, ah.
And then the Nine of Wands is an owl strutting her stuff as arrows rain down upon her.
But it's like a BoJack Horseman owl. Like, she has the proportions of a human and just an owl face.
You think I was going to give this a bad rating? I mean, this is very bizarre in a lot of ways.
You don't like creepy things, and you don't like things that aren't the
traditional.
And this is both.
Yeah, but here's the card that I... Spoiler, I saw this deck earlier. Here's the card that I really enjoyed. It's a naked woman wearing a... No,
good
not
one,
like
Ben.
That. Guys. She's got a pear plant on her head and on her arms, and then she's riding like a weird scaled lizard.
Oh, it's one of those things that's not an armadillo. It's a tapir, maybe.
An armored tapir.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Wait, a pangolin? Yeah, that's what it is. It's
what?
A pangolin.
3 stars for entertainment value.
All right. We got 3 stars for the Carnival at the End of the World.
You need to pick a question, though. You should have been doing that while I was doing the things.
Done.
That's it? You're just going to pick it like that?
Yeah, we have so many good questions. There's a stack of them.
Yeah, we can't get to all of them, though.
No, but I'm just going to read them in order until they tell us we have to stop.
Okay.
So, Dead Silence. That's a good show, right?
It's good radio.
You guys aren't making any noise. We're not making any noise. This is perfect.
Let's see how long it can last.
Let's not. So this question is, what should I be seeking and prioritizing in life? And that comes from Mike. All right.
More episodes of Amateur Tarot Pod. That's what I would be prioritizing and seeking in my life.
If I were Ben, I would be prioritizing flipping this card.
Flip.
The King of Swords. We've had a King of Swords.
We've had a King of Swords, although this King of Swords is not Sirius Black. It is the Tin Man, were he made of knives.
I would also have accepted the Iron Throne, were it made of a person.
That works too.
So what does this mean as the past?
Well, in the past, it means that Mike, he's a smart, logical, intellectual guy, and that's what he's been prioritizing in his life. To great success.
Excellent. Does that sound right, Mike?
Part of it.
Maybe it's the success part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Depends on the definition.
We're pretty intuitive back here.
Oh, flip.
Oh, this is traditional. This looks traditional.
Yeah, it's the Two of Coins. I don't know how to describe this.
It is a skull-headed paperboy.
It's Jack Skellington, were he a paperboy, juggling two reels of film.
Pretty accurate.
So, as you might surmise from the juggling two reels of film, the Two of Coins is all about balance. And it's about balancing material wealth, material well-being. What are you doing over there?
Stuff. I'm listening to you. It's
this
about
is just
material
like when
wealth,
we actually record.
Well-being.
It's like I'm talking into the microphone, and Brian's like texting people. So it's about balance. It's about balance. It's about harmony. It's about finding a way to balance like your feelings with the physical world and your material well-being. So moving from a place of prioritizing thought and intellect to a place of not prioritizing that so much, but finding a way to balance that also with your material well-being.
Yeah, I think so. So that's where you are right now. That's the place you are right now in your life.
That's the current action.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Flip.
Oh, this is adorable.
The Knave of Cups. It's a young Russian czar on a like a reindeer on a stick, drinking tea.
Yeah, he's on a hobby reindeer, and he's drinking tea, and he's dressed all in fur. It's a fabulous outfit.
So this is a court card, which I guess means I have to set it
up. That means it's up to you.
All right. Well, the
knave... I'll go back to my texts.
The knave is the page, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the page of cups, it's normally the gossip card.
Oh, yeah, with a little fish.
Yeah, normally in the page of cups, there's a fish coming out of a cup and whispering in somebody's ear. That's because the page of cups is all about listening to your subconscious, and that's it. It's
yeah.
About listening to your subconscious. It's about... kind of setting off on some new journey that your subconscious really wants you to set off on.
And I feel like, so we've gone from intellect to creature comforts to more relationship-based things. And so I think that the answer to the specific questions, what should I be seeking and prioritizing in life, is more about relationships and more about emotional security.
Yeah, balancing those things with sort of like intellectual projects.
Yeah, so... That, I think, is the answer to your question, Mike. You're welcome. New deck?
New deck.
New deck. We're going to use the Tinker's Dam. I'm going to go a little bit faster through this so that you guys aren't just sitting there while we're deciding and fighting.
Well, I'm going to find a good... I mean, I'm going to do this one. What? Random? It's going to be... Nope, that was Mike! I'll do this one from Lucy. I was recently promoted. I'm a month and a half into my new gig, and I feel like a fraud. How can I be more confident?
Did you say
a frog? I feel like a frog. No, I said fraud.
Oh, okay. I was asking for other people, because it sounded like they misheard you.
I feel like a frog. I just got promoted, and now I'm a frog. How can I be more confident in my new role? Two. Or, no. Sorry, that was the second question. So I was recently promoted. I'm a month and a half into my new gig, and I feel like a fraud. How can I be more confident in my new role? Heart, Lucy.
All right. Thanks, Lucy. Oh, you got to look through this deck, too. We're going to have so many decks
stop
rated.
Stop shuffling, then.
Yeah, I'm going to. I realized it after I started.
What if I rate it
can't
as,
stop
what
once
if
I start.
What if I rate it as we flip it over?
No, I think you should look at the deck.
Okay. Well, this deck, this first card, the Two of Water, looks a lot like... the American Gothic painting, but in Harry Potter.
But this is not the Harry Potter deck. This is the Tinker's Dam.
The Nine of Water is a very creepy boy dancing with a shadow. That's messed up.
Don't kink shame.
The Three of Water is just a bathtub with three faucets.
Why are they all cups?
I don't know. The Six of Fire is... it looks like a guy in Vietnam. 16 is Moloch.
Oh, great. We're never going to figure this out. I'm going to get the book.
Good luck. I'm sorry. I have to show one more. I have to show the 10 of the water, which is Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory having a tea party with her dog and two very creepy dolls. Two stars.
I'm pretty sure Moloch is the tower.
Yeah.
Is 16 the tower? Does anybody out there know tarot at all?
Amanda, is 16 the tower?
Excellent. Moloch is the tower.
It's so stressful doing the show when people that know their stuff are sitting right there.
We know our stuff. Way to back me up. Did you... Wow. So, something just happened... That could end the show. Ben just shuffled all my cards the wrong way.
I think it'll work out.
I think it's okay.
I don't think it's going to work out. I think this is our last podcast.
Well, Lucy, we're sorry. As a reminder, Lucy got a new job. She feels like a fraud. Now what? Flip. The Ten of Earth.
So the Ten of Earth, that's the Ten of Coins, and it looks like an old man in a little girl's body holding an ashes urn.
An urn.
Yeah. And what the Ten of Cups is about is not holding ashes. Yeah. But I think what is indicated is that this little girl, her rich relative just passed away.
Oh, so she's inherited all
this
money.
Yeah, she's
going
to be getting an inheritance because the Ten of Coins, the Ten of Earth, is about those creature comforts. It's about money. It's about particularly having enough to take care of those around you.
Well, Lucy just got a promotion.
Okay.
So
that could be...
That paper. Yeah,
that sweet, sweet, that grip.
Them ashes.
Yeah, you finally got those ashes you were wanting.
Flip. So our present card is Apotheosis, which is the world.
The world. And so that has a picture of...
I don't know.
You guys know what Apotheosis looks like, right?
Well, we'll show you.
It looks like a woman in a bunch of rings floating in space.
Well, the world is about coming to the end of a journey. And it's a journey that you end having learned a lot along the way.
You learned everything.
Yeah.
The Fool is the beginning of that journey, and the Fool is the zeroth card. And the world,
Apotheosis.
Apotheosis, is the 21st card, which is the last of the major arcana. And so you've come all the way from nothing, much like Drake, and now you're here.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the new job.
That's the new
job.
She
learned everything she needed to know about her last job, and now she's at her new job.
All right.
Flip.
Ooh, more Earth, more coins.
The Four of Earth.
So that's the Four of Coins. What
that's
is on this?
Stingy Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good
But
picture.
This is just a man with holding a lot of strange coins. Unexciting. I can't make a joke out of this. It's just hands and coins.
Yep. So, what was the question?
I threw it on the floor.
How do I feel like less of a fraud?
Yeah, she doesn't want to be a frog anymore. I was recently promoted, I'm a month and a half into my new gig, and I feel like a fraud. How can I be more confident in my new role?
Well, geez, Ben, what do you think it means?
Oh, great. All right, so the Four of Coins, we should start there, is about being stingy. In some way, it's about protecting something too much.
Okay.
Right?
I'm tracking you.
Did you have anything to add about the Four of Coins?
I'll keep going when I feel in the spirit
moves me. When you feel like you've really got something here?
Yeah. When I can, like, just jump down your throat and be like, no, this is what it means. That's...
All right. Well, I'll have to keep talking because this one... Should we draw a clarifier card?
Yeah, I think we should draw a clarifier card because right now it seems like it's talking about money a lot and not really talking about how you feel more confident at work. So I'd like to do a clarifier card on the world, which is the right now.
Okay.
But yeah, sit on that cash. Don't waste all that extra money that you're getting from the new job just yet.
More money!
But at least it's the six this time.
Yes, the six of Earth, which... Well, okay, so in the foreground, there's a man holding four bills. In the midground is a painter, maybe? There's also somebody holding a crystal ball that's reflecting some gears.
Yeah, it looks like Mike Myers is here from the Halloween movies.
And then there's like a factory worker.
Oh, it's payday. These guys are getting paid
for
their work.
Oh, for their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
So what I think this speaks to is being able to... We said that the world represented you had all the knowledge from your old job. And what you're going to want to do, and you can stop me anytime, Ben. What you're going to want to do is take that knowledge, take all that good stuff you have from that old job, and then find people that you can impart that knowledge. And at your new job, there's this thing that Ben and I are comfortable doing. It's called mansplaining. And just, if you ever think that somebody doesn't know something, just start telling them. Just tell them everything about it. And people really appreciate it. They appreciate having that new knowledge dropped on them. But really, I think that it is saying to share what you have from your old job, share that knowledge and share all that goodness that you're bringing from the old job and bring it into the new one and kind of put yourself in a place where you're teaching people.
Do you think that that's in, then maybe this four of coins, which is about holding things tight to yourself, is sort of a warning of something not to do?
Yeah, I guess if the coins are knowledge now, which we just said they were before.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take it. We'll accept it. The judges said yes.
All right.
All right.
We did it.
We did it?
We did it.
We did it, guys.
If you had a great question in this stack of questions and you didn't get an answer, just come see us after the show and we'll answer your questions.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do it when there's not a lot of people staring at you. I don't know why everybody keeps staring at us.
But for now, we'll proceed to the outro that is the clown pulling the scarf out of his mouth forever.
Yeah, first we'll leave that section that we were in.
What was that section?
It was like the gifts and then like the audience questions. Okay. We never went into that section,
but we are coming out.
We meandered over there. And now we'll go into the outro.
Oh, man. Second bumper. Double bumper.
All right, so the outro. First, we want to thank our questioner, Pete.
Pete,
thank you very much, Pete. Thanks for letting us lay bare all of life's mysteries and tell you how to do that, how to be better at being alive.
Let's also give it up for Lucy, Mike, and Jamie, our other questioners.
We're going to have a moment of silence for Lost Lols because that's here on the outline. Good enough. I can make it longer in post if I need
to. Okay, great. Those are our lost listeners.
Yeah.
But let's thank all of our current listeners.
Yes, thank you all for coming.
And thank you to the Monocle for hosting us this evening.
Yes.
Hang out, drink, patronize their bar.
Yeah, and you can come see us while you're drinking and we'll read tarot for you. We're better at it than you might think.
All right, moving into part C of the outline. You can find out... What?
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, so if you want to know more about us, every Monday we release a new podcast episode. You can learn more about that at our website, amateurtarot.com. Or if you have a burning question, you can send it straight to our Gmail, amateurtarotreading@gmail.com. We also have a phone number that nobody's ever called, so you could be the first. 314-325-6047 is that number.
It also accepts texts. We found that out on the air the other day.
All right, so you can text that number. Normally we offer a prize if you call right now, but...
But we're not going to do
conceivably,
that.
Conceivably, you could call right now, so...
Because some of you I don't trust. You'll just call right now.
So no prizes. On Twitter, Brian's very active at Tarot Amateur, and on Instagram at Amateur Tarot. Great for SEO.
Yeah, I didn't make that choice.
Switching those back and forth.
If you want to get in touch with Ben, you can get to him on imakingallthisup.com, where he talks about how to use creativity to increase your professional and just regular walking around life.
And Brian is active on his personal Twitter at Zen Iron Man.
So if you really like angry political things or pictures of kittens,
that's the place to go. This is the part of the outline where I create the Mind Palace, but I feel like that hasn't really been working.
Well, we don't know if it's been working. We just know that no reviews have come in.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed the show...
Oh, wait. We had something about that on the other outline.
We did?
Yeah. You put it in there.
I did?
Yeah. Take out your phones and rate us or you cannot leave.
Yeah, that's what I wrote on the old outline. So go onto iTunes, search Amateur Tarot. We'll be the only thing that comes up. Give us 5 stars, preferably, but you can give us a lesser amount of stars if you must.
Give us 5 stars and a crappy review if you need to. Like right now we have 5 stars across the board from all our reviews. I'd like to keep that going. But if you want to say something mean, feel free to say it in the review.
5 stars, that show sucked. Please do that. Steve Jobs Ghost really appreciates it when you rate and review our show and more people see us. What else is on here?
There's a Facebook group. I don't know. Some of you are in that Facebook group, and it's a lot of fun.
What's it called?
It's called the Amateur Tarot Group for the Amateur Tarot Pod. Something like that. If you follow us on Facebook, the group is just a part of that.
So do that. And then this is the part of the outline that somehow got in here. It just says, thank you to. And so tonight, thank you to Dobby.
Yeah, thanks, Dobby. He took the time to come here tonight and be on the card, even though he's a free elf.
He was scowling.
He has so much stuff to do. He was not happy about it.
But he was here, and we appreciate it.
And then I don't have a cool sign-off line, but I do
have... We never have.
I do have enamel pins for those of you who came in a little bit after I sat down. And so if you want enamel pins of our logo, we would love to have people wearing them around or just have it like in the console of your car when you throw it in there after the show or whatever. I made them at great personal expense to myself. So please take them and don't use them. And I think that is going to do it for us.
Thank you all very much for coming out tonight.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Little Tyke chortled Mr. Dursley as he left the house. Nobody says that.